Okay, well, I guess we all said our hellos, and I am looking for something. There is something on my phone that actually sparked this teaching tonight. There are actually a couple of things, but so a little bit of context here. I started going to the Croc Center to do some weights and whatnot. And it's actually called Salvation Army Croc Center. And presumably, if I'm not mistaken, it's kind of like Christian based. So in the lobby and in the elevator, there when I went there, they have this big poster, and on the poster there is a verse, what they call the verse of the year. And the verse of the year says, live in harmony with one another. And I go, huh, harmony. Wonder what that version is like, because I haven't quite seen that. And then at the bottom it says Romans 12:16, but I hadn't seen that scripture reference yet. And I just looked at that, live in harmony with one another, and I go, what is that? I was with Tom, and I said, what is that? That sounds oddly close to, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men, and which is in Romans 12:18, and a verse I'm very familiar with because my dear husband very eloquently, when I was kind of arguing about, well, yeah, if it be possible, it's not possible, blah, 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 and my husband goes, well, yeah, but it says, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. And but anyways, the point is we thought that that might have been the scripture, but as it turned out, and later on we saw that their scripture reference was actually Romans 12:16. So this spurred me on looking a little bit at different versions, and I've had a little bit of thing about using a lot of different versions because logic, at least my logic, dictates that every time you have a version, you lose a little bit of God's accuracy. And I'm not saying the KJV, the King James Version, is it or anything like that. But it's a more true and tried, if you will, version coming out of the Stevens Bible, I believe, and all of that. Anyways, it's older, and a lot of the research material is tailored to that. So the concordances and such, they all pretty much make reference to the verses as given in the KJV. Anywho, so this teaching is about, though, so that's kind of what led to this teaching, or to just looking up stuff. And this is, I call it the importance of accurately knowing God's Word. And I'm going to show you why it's important. It'll become self-evident. So let's start in Genesis, which also has the distinction of setting the precedence for many things in God's Word. It's kind of seminal in many things. So this is an example of what happens when misquoting God's Word. And Genesis 2:16 through 17, it says, and this is taken out of the New King James Version, so I will use that version, or even if I don't, I say things in kind of like modern day English anyways. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Okay, so God says, hey, of every tree of the garden you can freely eat, but of the tree of good and evil, of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat it because you're going to die. All right, we get to Genesis 3:1-5, and here's what's happening. So the serpent came about, I'm not going to go into figure speeches, that the other thing, let's just read it as is. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made, and this is cunning, being cunning is not in a positive way of saying smart. And he said to the woman, meaning Eve, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God say that? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor you shall touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. So most of us are very familiar with that record, but I want to point out that the adversary, it does the same thing over and over. It perverts, it instills doubt. I'm calling it an it. And it corrodes God's word. So we know that God had said at that point, hey, you may freely eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve took out the word freely. And let's see. And she said, God said, you shall not eat it. And she added, oh, he said, we can't eat it nor touch it. And God said, you will surely die. And of course, she said, lest perhaps we could die. You know, bad things could happen. We could die. So omission, addition, and what's the other word I was looking for here? She omitted a word. Oh, she added a word, and she, you know, changed a word. And so, going back to the verse that I saw in the elevator, I was wondering what did the KJV say? And I was kind of looking up where the verse, the other versions of that. One thing at a time, we know that when the consequences of omitting the freely, adding, nor shall you touch it, and changing surely to last from what God said, not only changed the intended meaning and directive, but issued in the loss of direct connection with Him and the introduction of the sickness, disease, and death once the fruit was tasted. So dire consequences come from basically perverting God's word or changing it even just one word. We know that God, through the prophet Hosea, rightly warned his people of the disastrous consequences of not knowing or ignoring his word. So in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the first part of that, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And sure enough, Adam and Eve, they lost that spiritual connection with God that died. They lost the privilege of living in the Garden of Eden. They had to toil and labor and, oh my gosh, all kinds of bad stuff. I mean, sickness, disease, and death can't get any worse than that. Thorns and thistles and all kinds of stuff changed after that. I am reminded by something Dr. Victor Paul Wuerl said, who was the president of the Way International, and he writes in one of his writings, the one great requirement for every biblical student is to rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible, the word of God, in its originally revealed form, is the word of truth. But when it is wrongly divided, the true word does not exist. And again, we saw how when Eve incorrectly responded to the serpent, it was not the true word as God had given it. And the word, as it was originally given, is of course perfect, pure, and without error or contradiction. It is God breathing. So, and to back that up, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us as much. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. And is profitable. It's got value, immense value. It's profitable for doctrine, which we know is right believing, for reproof, to correct wrong believing, correct error, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the original revelation of God's word as given to holy men of God, as it says in 2 Peter 1:21, was perfect. However, here we go, throughout the ages, error in translation and inaccuracy in understanding have obscured or even changed what God has originally said. Therefore, accurately learning the rightly divided word helps us not only to clearly know the truth about who God is and what His desire for our lives are, but gives us wisdom and empowers us to live a more than abundant life. As an educator and as just living in this country, many of us have heard that there was a time when this phrase came up a lot. Knowledge is power. Well, how much more so knowing accurately God's word? So I want to give you a couple of more references of just even with versions, because again, some versions are just almost pretty radically can change if you're not careful, or if you don't know, if you're not very steeped into the basic research principles and whatnot, which will be taught about in an upcoming class. Radically changes what God's intended meaning was. For example, here we go. Romans 12:18, and that's from the KJV, the New King James Version, and the ASV. They all say, if it be possible, as much so, this is the verse I was trying to reference at the beginning. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. And as I never finished that, I was trying to say, yeah, sometimes it's not possible, a lot of times, because I don't like this person or that person. And my husband said, well, it says if it be possible, as much as lies in you. And then what lies in you, dear wife? And I kind of looked at him dumbly, and he goes, it's God in Christ in you. That's what lies in you. So you can... You know, you can bear a lot, and you can forgive a lot, and you can walk in wisdom. Okay, so for this, and this, by the way, chapter 12 of Romans, just for a context, is really the chapter on how to separate the metamorphosis, so to speak, or be transformed, right, with the renewing of your mind, metamorphosis. From just being a body and soul man to a spiritual man. And it lists all of these kind of ministries, you know, about exhorting and loving and becoming affectionate one to another, rejoice in hope, distributing to the saints, get on with teaching and all of that. So that's, read it sometimes in its entirety. So that's the context of where these verses, this verse is coming from, as well as the one that was mentioned in the elevator, Romans 12:16. All right, going back to Romans 12:18, it says, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, which is God was in Christ, and Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you have a lot of power and capacity. Live peaceably with all men. Now, that doesn't say you accept whatever man does, any man, right, wrong, or indifferent. That's not what it's saying, but you can live peaceably as much as possible. All right. Now, the ESV, the English Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, NAS, and the NIV, and the Amplified Bible, and the Revised Standard Version say, if possible, so far as it depends on you, Not as much as lies in you, which is Christ in you. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. The Web World English Bible says, if it's possible, as much as it is up to you. So far as it depends on you, or as much as it is up to you, says, be at peace with all men. The New Living Translation says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. And then the MSG, the Message Bible, says, if you got it in you, get along with everybody. So it does that, if possible, as much as is up to you, or as far as it depends on you, is really changing the verse. And changing the heart of that verse, of what God is saying. Again, it's God who was in Christ and Christ in us. I mean, that's a lot of power. We can bear a lot, especially with those of the household. And looking at these different versions, okay, which with as much as up to you, or as you know, it depends on you. It's like, yeah, you know, do what you can. I'm reminded of what Ken Petty, you say, well, if it is up to me, it ain't going to be. So that could very well be the case here. If it's up to me, it might not be, or it might not happen as often as you should. All right. So to recap, the qualifier of what is in you, which is God in Christ in you, is lost. And operating with the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation is lost, and that, I believe, is the intended, you know, the part of that message in that verse. So how do we avoid this pitfalls? Well, we must become scholars of the Word of God. God urges us to be diligent students, workmen of His powerful Word. Again, accurate knowledge is power. Even better when you know, when accompanied with wisdom, because knowledge by itself is kind of like that latent power. I know Daniel and Tom both had talked about power, exousia, latent power, but the wisdom, knowing what to do with that, you know, sort of like the dunamis, the power, the explosive power in action, you know. It's an absolute necessity. You've got to read through these nice little phrases that come up, and you know, they sound nice, but is that what really God says? I have another one actually in Romans 12:16. Now the KJV, NKJV, and the ASV, American Standard Version. They say, be of the same mind one toward another, so like-minded. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of lower estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. And all of a sudden, that be of the same mind one toward another changes in some of the other versions. I'm not even going to list them, because a lot of them. It says, live in harmony with each other. Again, Romans 12 is addressed to believers, is addressed to born-again ones, people who are of the same household, people who have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So yes, be like-minded with them. And of course, very possible to live peaceably with them. If everybody does what they're supposed to do, right? But to live in harmony with each other and just kind of throw it out there, it's, you know, again, it's, you have to understand the context within which that is written. And yes, you want to live in harmony as much as possible, and then sometimes you need to stand for what is right. Anyways, I like the MSG again that says, get along with each other, don't be stuck up, make friends with nobodies, and don't be the great somebody. Interesting version there. All right, So what we need to do to become smarter, we need to do what God says in 2 Timothy 2:15. We all know it. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, knowledge is power. People go to college, they get their bachelor's, their master's, their PhD, their teaching credentials and whatever, all in the name of getting accurate knowledge about subject matters or about the field of study that they chose. And then they even want to apply that. So, you know, kind of like the wisdom part of it. But how much more important to know God's word, because it's life. God's word is life. So we want to study to show ourselves approved unto God as workmen who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, because the truth is, of course, not about the doctrine of man. It's not about political currents or new versions. It's the word of truth as originally given. And here is another reason of why. For this is 1 Timothy 2:3-4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the full knowledge. Come to the knowledge, but it's really on the full knowledge of the truth of God's word. So, when we accurately know God's word, we're able to discern truth from error, and Lord knows we need, we've had pickled years for sure, where the world just seemed to go really totally crazy and insane with a lot of different forms of philosophies and whatever. But knowing God's word, we're able to discern truth from error and have a lifelong compass and standard, that an anchor that is more valuable than gold or rubies. So my call to action for you is, let us daily refresh our mind with the accurate knowledge of God's word and walk with great power and conviction. Amen. Amen. So, all right, I'll close with a word of prayer. So, Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you really ensure that your word is there no matter what man will do to it. But thank you for giving us ways to know you more perfectly each and every day. Thank you for guarding your wonderful word. And thank you so much for your love and care for us all. In Christ's name I pray, amen.